Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, February 6th, 2024. Happy February. We've been through 1 month in a lightning speed, and it was funny. February started off here in Denver, Colorado, where I live, started off with rain. And like Friday night, it rained, which is really odd for February. I mean, we're in winter and we've had really, really cold weather, but it rained Friday night all through the night. And then Saturday, it snowed. And the snow started Saturday morning, pretty early Saturday morning. And it was one of those like idyllic snows, you know, and I can't even say it's a snowstorm because it was just so peaceful as it fell. You know, it just fell gracefully, big flakes just floating down out of the sky. And I think I knew it was supposed to snow, but the rain was kind of a, like I said, odd. But they said it should be, I think, on my phone or some report that I checked said maybe an inch. Well, we ended up getting about 3 inches of really wet, heavy snow because of the rain. And it was funny because it really reminded me of a spring snow. And usually here in Colorado, even though we've had a fairly snowy late fall and winter so far, which is nice. And I know they've gotten tons of snow in the ski areas. So that's a huge blessing all the way around. I mean, that's just blessing for all of us. Those of us, you know, who make our living up at those resorts and the people down here on the lower levels, the front range, as they call us, we have water, you know, no water restrictions in the summertime. So it's all good, but it was kind of interesting to think, this is like February 2nd, February 3rd, something like that. And this is like a spring snow. So the thought that came into my head is the next thing I know, we're going to be looking at tulips popping out of the ground. But, you know, not to rush spring or anything, but it just, you know, it was just sort of, it's just kind of an evidence that things just keep moving. And it's not that we don't know that, not that I don't know that. I mean, I'm talking from my personal thoughts and my personal experience, but you know, it's here we are. You know, winter is moving along. Official spring is just a month away, really, officially. And then of course it takes its time, but that snow was so peaceful and it was just so perfect that it happened on a Saturday because, you know, the majority of people, not the majority of people, but a lot of people don't have to work on Saturday. So they could just enjoy it. And it fell all through the day. And then it got very, very cold at night. So there was a lot of ice because of the rain and the wetness to the snow. And, you know, Scott, my friend and helper and student and, you know, everything else, I got up Sunday morning thinking, okay, well, I'm going to at least do my sidewalks, shovel my sidewalk outside my front door because I had groceries coming. And when I got up, it was done. And the whole driveway was done and my car was cleaned off. It had a layer of ice on it, but it was all cleaned off. And I have this little camera out in my driveway, you know, that shoots down on my driveway. And I think he was out there shoveling at 1:30 in the morning. I texted him and I said, I was really surprised. I said, to see everything shoveled. And he said, yeah, I got an early start. And then later on I check and see, and it's like, I think sometimes he doesn't sleep well. And so in order to avoid just being awake, you know, in your own bed or in your own place, trying to figure out how to go to sleep, he gets up and does stuff. And he's done that before, but it just was like, oh my gosh, this is so wonderful to have this already done. But anyway, that was Saturday. And then Sunday morning is when I woke up and saw that it had all been done. And there really was quite a bit of really wet, heavy snow. And that's a lot harder to shovel, but But anyway, then Sunday, blue skies, sun's out. It's the most gorgeous day, with all that beautiful snow and the sun just, being reflected in the snow. And it was just idyllic. It was really lovely. And again, because people didn't have to go to work or school, I'm sure they enjoyed it. Sorry, Grace is behind me. Grace, lay down. You're okay. Nobody's here. You're good. Sorry about that. I think she thinks something got her attention and she jumped up. So rather than have her disrupt, hopefully she won't disrupt further. Anyway, that's enough about the snowstorm and just that lovely time on the weekend and enjoying that peaceful snow. It was perfect. I am very happy to be here today. If you are listening live, please join me in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. And I invite, your comments and your questions about today's topics, and I will respond to them probably after the show because I'm having a little trouble getting into Facebook today. So if you didn't see a welcome in the chat room from me, it's because I couldn't get in there, but welcome if you're in the chat room. Scott's, or I'm sorry, not Scott, but Jay is going to help me monitor the chat room if there's anything in there that I need to respond to. He'll let me know. So, and I will get myself back in there after the show. If you want a reading, however, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm typically available mid-morning Pacific time into the evening. If you happen to stop by and don't see me, or if I'm on another call and show busy, just schedule a call or put in a callback request, and I'll be notified via text and will respond as soon as I possibly can. And I'll always do my best to meet your schedule. And if not, we'll figure out a time that works for both of us. We do have reduced rates a few times a week. And if you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And all that entails is you leave your email address. And then you're notified of all that's going on with us. So, also, I just want to remind you again that I have an Available for Love 15-minute time-based session. It will be available through the month of February. And, it's just really kind of an interesting thing to think about relationship and love and being available for that. Because really and truly, when we think about relationships, a lot of times we think about just specific relationships, either, a romantic partner or a partner or our family or people that we work with. It's specific. But really and truly, it just all of life is relationship. And so how we show up for life, how we show up, even at the grocery store or, saying hello to somebody out on the street or whatever, that's how we're showing up. And for that brief amount of time that you pass someone in the street, that's an agreement. That's a spirit-to-spirit agreement, to be in the same place at the same time. So how we show up is not lost or wasted. And if we think of just life being relationship, everything is relationship. We have a relationship with the place that we live in. This is my truth. This is what I have found to be true in my life. My home, I have a relationship with my home. I have a relationship with all the things in it. It's a give and take. It's all relative. What I give to it provides support for me. What I put in there that I find beautiful makes me happy through my seeing it as beautiful. Makes me happy because it's in my experience. It's in my home. With our pets, it's the same way. Everything is a relationship with our cars, with the people on the road as we drive. It's all relative. It's all relative, and we always get what we give. So if we can release the things that we've carried with us, the baggage that we've carried with us from our past experience in relationship to relationship, or love or expressing that. When we, even kindness, sometimes, expressing kindness or a hello, or it's validation. Like Michael Tamura said, it's validation. When we say hello to someone, a genuine hello, we're validating them. It's like a namaste. The God in me acknowledges and honors the God in you. That's it. It's validation, and it's always reciprocal. So, anyway, but sometimes we have a hard time with that, and that's just, there's something inside of us that just kind of goes, because we can, based on past experience, maybe bad experiences or negative experiences that came as a result of being kind or being overkind. I mean, there's always two sides to the story, and agreements, whether they turned out well or not well, are always for our growth. So keeping that in mind helps as well. But, maybe while the last time I was vulnerable, the last time I helped somebody, that turned out bad, or I got taken for granted or taken for a ride or whatever it was. Those things aren't true in this present moment. They're in the past. The past is dead, gone, and over. The you that experienced them in the past is also dead, gone, and over. And, it's a good thing in this time-based session. The purpose of it is just to release that past energy, to release those programs, which are just limiting beliefs that tell you it's not safe. It's not safe to help someone. It's not safe to give. It's not safe to show your heart. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. But if you show your heart, if you give, you benefit from the giving. And the other person does whatever they do. That's not our concern. How anybody takes it is not our concern. What they do with it is not our concern. Our job for our growth, for our well-being, for our expansion and evolution is to give, to love, to express our divinity, because that's what giving and loving is. And even that vulnerability, that's expressing our divinity. Saying someone, somehow, someone out there may not be quote unquote safe, but they're not my safety. That's not my safety. My safety comes from within, comes from my relationship with the divine. Anyway, I just got off on a big tangent. The purpose of the 15-minute time-based session available for love is just to release old limiting beliefs, fears, baggage, so that we can be available to love in the multitude of ways that it can show up and enjoy it. It brings joy and life and brightness to us when we are free to just express love and kindness and be ourselves, our true selves. So, anyway, that's available through the end of February. And of course, my weekly reminders, the gratitude board is available on onetolisten.com. It's a great tool. You can post anonymously. And, I just hope that you use it, because all of the advisors at onetolisten.com moderate that board, which means we add our attention to your intention. Whether you're grateful for something that's in your experience, we'll celebrate that with you, or something that you are working on, that you're working within yourself to allow into your experience. Our attention will help you with that, because attention, focus, is fuel to whatever it is focused on. So it's our blessing to do that. And thank you again for listening to my show and for listening to One Two Radio, wherever and whenever you do. There are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at onetoradio.com. And it is just a great way to stay inspired, to learn something new, to listen to somebody you've not listened to. It's there. It's there 24/7. So please take advantage of it. It again is another way that we can support you. And inspiration, is our own responsibility. It is our responsibility to stay inspired. Nobody's going to come knocking on your door and, dump a bucket of glitter over you. It's not going to happen. It's not. So find ways to stay inspired, because This journey, if you're on a spiritual path, on a spiritual journey, is a moment by moment thing. You know, checking in, feeling where you are, changing how you feel if you need to change it. It's just a moment by moment thing. So, inspiration in whatever form you find it, use it and use it purposefully. Use it because that's how you stay afloat and that's how you stay strong and that's how you expand. So, thank you, Jay, for producing the show today and for all that you do for us on 1-2 Radio. And let's shift into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Ashara. I think that I'm pronouncing it right. Could be Ashara, I'm not sure. By Zingaya. This is from the Sundari CD and Sequoia Records. It's a beautiful piece of music. I hope you enjoy it. I'll be back right after. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm so glad you're with me today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I really liked it. I really like it. So I just want to keep talking about, actually, I kind of have to keep talking about supply and just how spirit source is continues to show up for me, and then share more about it. Like last week, I talked about abundance, which just made my head explode in a good way. So I had to share that. So what I'm sharing with you this week kind of keeps going in that direction. And just, the more positive things that we can focus on, the better off we are, right? And the more we look for positive things in our lives, or no matter what happens, shift our focus from, oh no, to hey, look at that. That happened. This could have been different had that not happened. So anyway, and here is my consistency of supply, the consistency of supply story for this week. And I probably will have one of those to share with you, if not every week, very often. And I apologize. I don't know why my voice is scratchy today, but anyway, I apologize for that. Last week, I talked about how our car was stolen, and my mom's car was just sitting in her garage waiting for me, and now Olive is my car, and that was just the most miraculous, miracle. I mean, it just was to have that appear what I needed when I needed it, exactly when I needed it. And that's what supply is. And it's almost, she's almost mine. I still have to have the title transferred, but I have almost everything needed to get that done. And I'll get that done this week or early next week. But I also mentioned that Channon's car, the car that was stolen, was in limbo because he passed away. And so it just got stuck in the impound lot at the Denver Sheriff's impound. And that was resolved last week. It was resolved. It was resolved through the insurance company, and my thing was I never wanted to see that car again, and I won't have to. So all I can say is I'm so blessed. And again, supply what I need it when I need it. And it works for all of us. Supply is, and I'm going to talk more about it. It is a constant presence within us. The other thing, and this is bigger than what I just shared, the instance of, supply last week, being new, and that's not the way to say it. But the other thing that I got from my mom is a very streamlined, lightweight HP laptop that is far better than the one I have. So I was excited to have it, but for many reasons, all that went on, I hadn't had the opportunity to put my stuff into it, to make it my own. And then last Tuesday afternoon, after my show, thank God, my PC just gave up the ghost in the middle of a chat. It just died. And the screen went black and it had these like cryptic words on it, and it wouldn't respond. It says, it's having trouble rebooting. Press any key and it'll reboot. So I'd press a key and it would flicker a little bit and the same words would stay on the screen. So I took a picture of it and I texted my computer guy, who again is just another example of supply. When I need, when I need it. He's busy, he has his own business, and he's just a great guy. I've used him now for years. He's been our computer guy, and he would come over to the house and help us and do whatever he needed to do. And he's just a really a nice guy who really knows what he's doing. And so I texted him and he called me back instantly. And these were his words: "This is not good." And I went, "Oh no, oh no." So I'm thinking, great. Well, obviously, I need a new computer, because he said this probably isn't recoverable. But he had helped me buy that computer a few years ago, and it was refurbished, and it was what I could afford. And he set it up for me, and he set up OneDrive on it. So, which is the other miraculous thing in this story, almost everything, with the exclusion of some of my audio files, some of my music, was there, was not lost. And so he was going to come the next morning and get the PC to see if he could repair it. And I just happened to mention to him that I had my mom's laptop, and while he was here, asked him if he could help me, make it my own, And he said, "Well, we can make it your desktop, and you won't have to get another computer." So, I mean, I don't, I'm technically challenged, and that's putting it mildly. I had no idea. Really had no idea. So he couldn't come the next day, but the guy that works with him and for him came and spent a few hours getting it set up, making sure everything was transferred to it from OneDrive, and got that done. And he took away the old computer, as well as a couple of laptops that Shannon and I had that were old. And I didn't know, how to get them recycled, so I asked him. And he said, "We take these and we wipe them, wipe the information out of them, and we refurbish them to get to people." And I interpret that as donate to people that don't really need anything other than the ability to have email and maybe shop online. They don't need anything more sophisticated than that. So he took those, which was a blessing to get rid of them and not have them in my house, and to be able to help somebody else, to serve someone who also probably maybe couldn't afford a better computer, or a better laptop, but to serve a need. And so that was really cool. But the biggest blessing was a $300 service bill instead of buying a new computer. So, I'm telling you, I'm just supported. Always, always, always. And my mom, with her car and her computer, I'm sure was just standing there laughing. So she, God, as my mom, keeps taking care of me as well. And it's just, it blesses me to share these miracles with you, because again, like I said, what you focus on expands. And I've just, over the past few months, have just seen one thing after another be resolved, be taken care of. And I know, I see that especially when I know that I have my whole dependence on God and not on anyone or anything outside of me. Because supply comes, because we're in a physical experience, right? Supply, help, those miracles come through people, but they're not human. They are divinity meeting our needs through other people. So that's a good thing to keep in the back of our minds, focus within, feel the presence, and just depend on it. As Joel would say, not on man whose breath is in his nostrils or this world of effects, but on source. That is the source of every man, of everything. So what I want to talk about next, I've got about three different topics that I think are going to flow pretty well into what I want to talk about, actually, as the teaching segment, aside from what I just did talk about. And the first one is faith. The first one in and I want to talk, I pulled out an old book called Success Is You by Dr. Irvin Seal, and it was published in 1957. and the spine is kind of peeling off. But it's a really lovely book, and I've shared Dr. Seale's stuff before. I love the way he writes. It's like putting a chenille blanket around me when I read Dr. Seale. There's something so gentle and so graceful in what he writes, and what he writes is very powerful. So I think I've heard him speak. I actually have I think a CD where I heard him speak, and he was just very humble. And that humility comes through in what he writes, even though it is powerful, powerful stuff. So when I was thinking about faith, or dependence, faith, that's it. I mean, it's just depending on the truth of you to take care of you, just relinquishing all power, control, and responsibility to that which lives me, which must be God. The thing that lives me must be God, because I'm not doing it. I'm not beating my heart or breathing or, I'm not doing that consciously. So that life that is me must be God. Consciousness is God. So anyway, Dr. Seale wrote about in this chapter. I can't remember what the name of the chapter was, but he talks about developing faith, and he talks about, reading books, meditating, getting kind of a foundation, so to speak, through whatever spiritual books, prayers, whatever it is, that kind of get the process sort of in motion, so to speak, or get you into that elevated feeling and that inspire you. Let's use that word, right? But he talks about in this chapter, it's really cool, developing faith using the law of action and reaction. He gave it the example of how our bodies respond to our thoughts and desires. And the example is you're sitting in a chair and you decide you want to go into the other room for something and you do it without thinking about it. Your desire or your thought doesn't animate your body. Life or source animates your body. Just like you're not consciously growing your hair or beating your heart and you don't think about that. You don't worry about that's going to keep going when you go to sleep at night. You just take it for granted. You know that it's happening. So you take no thought about it. He also gave the example of a chemist, who has great faith in the law of action and reaction as he witnesses it in the laboratory, because the action and reaction between chemicals is observable. But in another scenario, he may not have the same, not have faith in the same law under conditions in relation to the personal concerns in his own life. Dr. Seale wrote, "As Newton laid it down long ago, reaction is always equal and opposite to action. Therefore, I am suggesting to the chemist and to you, who may not believe widely enough in this law, to lift your eyes, to widen your horizon, and to see and understand that the same law was functioning when you thought and wished to get up and go to the other room. Something in your mental-physical relationship responded and moved and activated the muscles of your legs and carried you in the direction of your wish. Now, this truth is present everywhere in life. Something is trying to help us. Something is trying to come into our lives. Something is trying to raise us up. Something is trying to inform us and to make us wise. Something is always trying to beguile us from our fears and our uncertainties, and from our miseries and our weaknesses, and from our inhumanities. But it can only go so far. It makes itself, capital I, available to us, and then waits for our recognition and our understanding. For without recognition on our part, there would be no such thing as understanding. Any automatic compulsion by God toward man, but toward, I'm sorry, any automatic compulsion by God of man toward inevitable good would not help man to develop as a self-conscious understanding entity. So God waits for our recognition. And the moment we recognize and think toward it, it responds. It comes rushing into our lives as health, as happiness, as peace and joy, or as any good thing which we have previously lacked. In the New Testament, it's personified as Jesus, the Savior of the world, who stands at the door and knocks, but cannot enter until the resident of the house answers the door and opens it from the inside. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I love the way Dr. Seal writes. You know, something wants to help us. Think about that. Doesn't that just light you up? That is so, but we have to make the first step, you know? Action always precedes demonstration. We have to move toward the thing that we want, the thing that we want to experience. We have to move toward our growth. Our growth doesn't just happen to us. I mean, it's just, it's all an inside job, as Reverend Ike would say. It's all an inside job. And, you know, I love the saying, one step toward God, he takes 9 steps towards you. And that's absolutely true. Now, that verse that I just read, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, is Hebrews 11:1. And, you know, along with, you know, just thinking about faith and supply and that being really in my consciousness and in my experience, the word substance has always, I don't know, the meaning of the word substance, spiritually speaking, has always kind of been a mystery to me. I mean, it really has. Joel would say the substance of supply, that God is the law, activity, and substance of supply, that God in me, God in you. Supply is what we need when we need it, as we need it. It is us. It is part of our consciousness. It's our divinity. It comes, as I said earlier, through other people. But the substance of it, the substance of that supply, the cause of it, is our connection to Source. Joel said, as I said a minute ago, the activity, law, and substance of supply is God in the midst of me. The word substance, up until it finally hit me, a lot of things are hitting me recently, I always interpreted backwards. In other words, I interpreted it as the physical experience, substance. But, you know, as the physical expression of supply. But it's not. It's not. It's what the physical is made out of. It's the realization of the God self, the infinite self, the Christ, the Atman, the Tao, the universe, Source, Source in us. In meditation, after I, you know, I've been like really working with this and you know, it's expanding and expressing itself more and more to me, you know, and that's, you know, that's what happens when you find something to meditate on and you kind of keep going back to it. It just keeps unfolding because this is an infinite concept, you know, it truly is. But in meditation, it's after I caught that, it actually has a feeling of like denseness. You know, when you go within, it's there. It's you can feel it. I can feel it. I have to talk from myself, my truth, my experience. And, you know, and then that's when the realization came that substance is what everything in the physical is made out of. And if you can, you know, to put it in a very simple metaphor, it's the clay out of which the potter, and in quote, faith or dependence, molds a vessel. That substance is that which comes through and demonstrates us supply in our physical experience. Joel wrote, and this is far more eloquent than what I just said, but sometimes it's hard to put things into right words. Hopefully, it got it across, though. Joel wrote, "Anything that you need for some outer activity, you have by virtue of the fact that you have achieved a realization of the supply of the substance of it within. Once you have the substance within you, that is the realization or the feeling of the presence of that substance, everything you need on the outer plane is provided. They are the added things. Supply is an inner state of being. It is an inner quality like integrity. You've never seen integrity, but you've seen the results of integrity in your conduct in the outer world. You've seen the outward expression of that invisible essence that appears as deeds of honesty, loyalty, justice, mercy, or kindness. In the same way, if there were no inner supply, there would be no externalization in the form of dollars or property or income. If there were no inner essence or substance, there would be no outer expression or form. If this is true, why is it that there's lack and limitation in the world? If supply is omnipresent and exists in the consciousness of every person, why is there anyone on earth in lack? The omnipresence of supply is the consciousness of God within, but it becomes visible, evident, and tangible, first of all, in proportion as we know the truth that spirit is supply, love is supply, and that these are not visible, but they are the divine presence and power within us, which externalizes itself as the forms of supply. Far more eloquent. And goes right in with what Dr. Seale was saying about faith. Joel goes on to say, there is a peace, which becomes our supply of health, wealth, harmony, joy, and dominion. Until we arrive at that my peace, the Christ peace, the abundance of life eternal cannot appear in manifestation. It is true that life is eternal. It is true that supply is infinite. It is true that safety and security and joy are here and now. But you and I cannot experience them until we have touched that my peace, that inner spiritual peace. And that peace, I feel, is my experience of that substance, that density. You know, when you sit down and you put your full weight down, just in that, I love to go back to the golden cathedral of the heart, as the sages of the Upanishads called it, the golden cathedral of the heart, wherein lies and rests and lives the Lord of love, the Lord of light. And to just imagine, you know, not by might, by power, mental, emotional, physical, or by taking thought, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I don't know what that verse is, but by, you know, it, and this is, I know, Isaiah, I don't know which exactly, but in returning to that secret place of the Most High, that inner cathedral, that safe and sacred space within, and resting in the arms of the Lord of love, the Lord of light, is my salvation. In quietness and confidence is my strength. That's it. That's it. That's our recharge. That's our connection. And that is the thing that makes it easy to say, I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility for my life, my day, this thing I have to do, to that God self, to the Lord of love, the Lord of light, to whatever your word is. It is surrender. Again, you don't have to think about getting up and walking across to the other room or walking to the other room, because that life that is you moves you there, right? So by surrendering all struggle, all, what I have to do, what I have to, by surrendering all of that, it just takes over. And it's not easy, but it gets easier with practice. Let me tell you that it gets easier with practice. And that my peace, I love that, because that's the peace is understanding, and that peace is healing. That is evidence of connection to source, that peace. And the verse is, peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's John 14:27. And that brings me back to another thing that I wanted to expand on that I started with last week, which is a saying of Joel's, God is only glorified in our success. And, in material terms, a successful person is one who achieves wealth or status or, accomplishes something beyond the norm. But in that word, achieves, materially speaking, humanly speaking, it's work, it's action, and the success is the reward of hard work, typically. But on the spiritual level, I really feel that there are different forms of success. That success takes on, a moment by moment quality. There, and those, the different forms of success, or the different feelings of success, are very personal and individual. And simply put, success is the demonstration of the infinite self, not the personal self. And for me, it really is simply a shift in energy that brings healing. It's that click. Joel calls it a click. Practicing the presence, hearing the still small voice. The still small voice is not necessarily a voice. It can be a feeling. It can be something that you see. It can be something that you hear. But it's just being in that presence. And feeling your energy shift. And it may just be, sometimes it's just this lovely feeling of excitement, of safety, of certainty, of okay, I'm ready. I've turned my day over, I've turned everything that's going to happen in this day over, and I feel confident. I have confidence, that ease and confidence. That is that peace, that inner peace. But so that shift in energy is healing. I mean, that's a healing, right? Anytime you go from here, that doesn't feel so good, to here, that feels really good, that's a healing. And so, to me, therefore, spiritually speaking, success is peace. Success is hearing the still small voice in the midst of the whirlwind. Success is being able to find that divine ground within you, within me, to find and again, put your weight down in that foundation. Success is detachment. Success is non-resistance. You know, feeling yourself struggle, feeling that, you know, resistance, you know it because you can feel it in your body, right? Something happens and you just go, or at least that's what I do. And you feel it in your chest, or you feel it in your back, or you can't get it out of your mind. You know, when you get to the place where you can, you know, my method is you go back, you sit down, and you just sit down in the arms of God, and you let it go, or you sacrifice it. This feeling, this struggle, this fear, this anxiousness, this doubt, this whatever it is, you know, grief, guilt, anything that comes up that doesn't feel good is not yours, and you do not have to entertain it for a second. You don't. You don't. And you sacrifice it. I sacrifice this. I sacrifice the struggle. I sacrifice it. You know, I can't hang on to this. I relinquish all control and responsibility for it to the God mind that meets every demand. I cannot do this. I don't know how to do this. Therefore, I give it away. I give it away. It's surrender. Detachment, non-resistance is surrender. And when you surrender and you feel the shift in your body, that's success. So it's really moment by moment. Moment by moment. It is total and complete surrender and dependence on source. It is independence. Success is independence from anyone and anything outside of us. And again, it comes moment by moment. And I don't know. I hope all of that made a circle. I feel good. I hope you were blessed by it. I hope it makes sense. And I just thank you for being with me today, for listening, for I don't know. I talk about what I have to talk about. You know, what I feel moved to talk about. So if I feel moved to talk about it's got to be beneficial to somebody more than just me. So I hope you were blessed. I hope you enjoyed it. And I just want to say you've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on Two Radio, where we're changing the way that we relate to our world, because indeed we do create it. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver, and have a very blessed week, everyone. Bye-bye.